This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave. We continue our tribute to Elvis Presley with archive interviews with two members of his band, drummer DJ Fontana and guitarist Scotty Moore. Moore just released a new album, All the King's Men, which features DJ Fontana on drums. We'll hear from Scotty Moore later in the show. DJ Fontana was the drummer on Elvis's recording of Hound Dog. He played with Elvis early in his career and performed on many of his most successful records, also on his 1968 network TV special. Terry spoke with Fontana in 1987.
DJ Fontana, I want to talk with you now about your early days in rock and roll. You were Elvis Presley's drummer from about 55 to 69.
Yeah,
before we talk about those days, I want to play one of the most famous recordings that you were featured on with Elvis Presley, and everyone's going to recognize this.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, you're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high class. Well,
that has to be one of the famous, most famous drum rolls in history. Did you have that one planned?
We didn't ever plan anything. We never knew what was going to happen from one second to the other. And we'd go in the studio, just we'd kind of piddle around and find things, you know. And that just one of those things just accidentally happened. There was no reason for it. I decided to put it in there, and he said, hey, that's great. Do it every time, you know.
I want to ask you about the Ed Sullivan appearance that you and Elvis Presley were on, I guess it was the TV premiere, national TV premiere of Elvis Presley. And we've all heard about how the camera people were told to just shoot him from the waist up.
They said that, but I didn't see any sense in it, and I don't think anybody...
What were you told behind the scenes about that?
They said it was vulgar, his gyrations, but he really didn't do anything. Not comparing to what they're doing now. He was a saint, you know. But the press, you know, they'll write anything that people tell them, and then you got the churches behind you, and they, you know, so you had to just really kind of behave yourself, you know. But Elvis wouldn't have done anything to hurt anybody's feelings or the country or anything else, and he didn't think it was wrong. He really didn't think it was wrong.
You were one of the first groups to perform in front of a lot of screaming people. I think you had a lot of screamers long before the Beatles did.
Yeah, that was quite a few years back.
How did that affect you as a drummer? You must have had to play really loud.
No, not really. He always worked us tight. Everybody was right up against each other. It was hard to hear a lot of times. But I know one time we worked the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. There was about 45,000 people. And back in those days, that's a lot of people. And we really couldn't hear him do a thing. And he took his microphone and went way out to the gate, to the fence. And we were like in the middle of the arena on the 50-yard line. So we was probably 75, 100 foot from the fence. And we couldn't hear a thing. And he couldn't, I'm sure. We only had three little pieces. But we knew by his movements, his hands, his feet, legs, we knew exactly where he was. So we had to watch him awfully close to find out where he was all the time.
So some of those swiveling hips were probably cues to the band.
It was cues. When I was 15 years old, I was working strip acts down in Shreveport. So I learned to follow these people. So when he done all his moves, I learned to follow him because then I'd know where he was at.
He started becoming very famous when he was very young. And the individual members of the band were not nearly as well-known or as recognizable as he was. Did that cause a gap between the players and
No, the reason for that, back in those days, that's the way it was done. Except if you had a trio like Paul and the guys, you know. But we were like musicians. He was the leader. He was the boss. So we did what he never did. It was no boss side-man relationship, but that's the way we felt about it. He was the star. We would compliment anything he could do. We'd try to help it out.
You appear in two of my personal favorite Elvis Presley moments. One is in Jailhouse Rock.
That was a good movie.
It was a great movie. Yeah.
I enjoyed doing that movie.
And also you were in that terrific 1968 network special.
Special,
that,
with the black suit.
Yeah, he's wearing all leather and denim, as I remember.
It was hot.
the costume was hot, or the studio was hot?
The costume, that suit looked like it weighed 100 pounds.
Oh.
And black leather. I mean, he was...
It was tight.
I don't see how he didn't pass out, really. And, of course, with the lights and everything, made it hotter.
What was exciting about that special, though, was that it was a period when you thought, well, maybe he'd lost it musically. Maybe he was just going to be doing bland pop songs.
Well, he was worried about it. He was really, really concerned.
About how he'd...
How
what kind of reaction
go
he'd get.
Over, yeah, because he had been doing movies for 10 years. And when you do movies, you people are played to applause and clap and, you know, raise cane. You know, that's part of the job. So then he was a little concerned. And we went back to the dressing room. We was talking about it. And he said, what do you think? I said, hey, go out there and do the same thing you've done for years and get the people on your side. He had a knack for doing that. He knew how to, as young as he was, even at in his earlier days, he knew how to get the people on his side somehow or another. I said, go out and do the same thing you've been doing for 15 to 20 years. He said, you think it'll work? I said, why not? You know, we were just talking about it. He said, I'm a little worried about it.
He got involved in so many excesses, and I'm not just thinking about, you know, drugs and food and things like that, but also excesses in music, show business excesses, big orchestras, elaborate costumes.
Yeah, well, that's when he went to Vegas. You know, that's showbiz there. You know, I don't think he was real comfortable at it.
Did you leave him before that?
Yeah, I left him. They wanted us to go to Vegas, but I really didn't want to go. Scotty had a studio.
The guitarist.
The Jordanaires had about 40 sessions lined up that particular time, so it was hard for them to all get away. And I hadn't been in Nashville very long, so I said, well, I'm going to stay here. I had two boys to raise, like Paul. You know, we had families by then, so I said, I'm going to stay home and try to get in on the recording end of it. So that's what I did.
So you didn't want any part of the Vegas stuff?
No, I didn't. We had been to Vegas in 1957, I think, and I don't know, it's just another world out there. You know, we'd have had fun, I'm sure, you know, and I'm sorry I didn't go now, you know. But still, I've been doing that for 25 years, you know.
DJ Fontana was Elvis Presley's drummer in the 50s and 60s. Terry spoke with him in 1987.